Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Childhood shyness is really very commonplace, although it tends to concern parents as to what you should do. Do you push your child into social situations? Do you wait to see if they're going to adapt on their own? My guest is Dr. Andrew Addisman. He's the Chief of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics at the Stephen and Alexandra Cohen Children's Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Addisman. So shyness, is it more common than we think, and is it anything that we have to worry about?
Well, more often than not, we don't have to worry about shyness, although I know it's frequently a source of concern for parents. We live in a culture where, you know, being assertive and being sort of more pro-social and out there is often valued, although there are other cultures where the more reserved child is actually seen as sort of, you know, having certain advantages. In our society, in the United States, parents are oftentimes concerned about their children being too shy, too slow to warm up, and are often looking to change their children, which is actually kind of tricky, and it's not always a good idea. It's probably more often than not to accept children for the way they are.
Okay, so we do have to accept them for the way they are. Do you want to teach, is there a way to teach your children not to be shy or to, now, and I'm just going to give you my own example, Dr. Addisman. When I was pregnant, one of my clients told me that he absolutely wanted me to teach my children that when they met somebody new, you look them in the eyes, shake their hand, say it's nice to meet you or nice to see you again, and repeat their name as they introduce themselves to you. And it's taken every time my children do it, somebody comments on it, and I think it brought them out of their shyness just a little bit. Can we teach them little tricks?
The answer is certainly, as the example you gave, you know, I think it's a teaching a child to, in a sense, you know, exhibit grown-up behaviors. You know, eye contact is one of those things that we, you know, worry about when kids don't make eye contact, and it can be a sign of a shy or an anxious child. In some cases, especially these days with all the concerns about autism spectrum disorders, you know, eye contact is seen as a telltale sign. If a child doesn't make eye contact, that it could be a sign of also something more worrisome, like an autism spectrum disorder. But you know, most of the time, you know, I think that certainly, you know, clinicians and parents will likely not confuse the two in terms of shyness and things like an autism spectrum disorder. But getting back to your comment about can some of these skills be taught, the answer is yes. Certainly, you know, you can, you know, have a proper introduction, sort of a grown-up introduction, and that can impress. But that child may still be a little bit more reserved, be more of a wallflower. You put them in a birthday party situation, you put them in a loud, unfamiliar situation, that child may be, you know, a little bit more clingy to the parent, or maybe just a little bit more on the outside of the group rather than in the middle.
Okay, now what about, as you're mentioning, a child's birthday party, other children? You know, they want to make friends. They don't want to sit there and not be able to make friends, and some are slower to be able to do that than others. But what do we as parents let them make their own friends in this day and age of helicopter parenting and controlling every little thing your kids do? Do we help them make friends, call somebody and make a play date, or do we kind of let them find that world on their own?
Well, I think, you know, parents have to sort of walk that fine line. Parents hopefully know their child best, and you know, the intent is to sort of, you know, try to have the child enjoy him or herself. And if a child does best in one-on-one situations, then which is often the case with shy children, then, you know, play dates do make sense. I think especially the younger the child, the more reasonable and appropriate it is for parents to intercede. You know, parents might not do that with a teenager, but certainly they could do that with a great young grade school child, and I think that's great. And then having a buddy or a playmate or an established friend present, for example, when they then go to that birthday party, it makes it that much easier for the child to separate from the parent and get in there with the mix, because there's comfort, hopefully, with that established peer.
Is it a self-esteem issue, Dr. Addisman? Is it something that as parents we can build up the child's self-esteem and they'll tend to be less shy? Are they feeling bad about themselves?
I think more often than not, you know, shyness needs to be separated from, you know, self-esteem. And again, somebody who's got poor self-esteem, you know, maybe on the outskirts, maybe a little bit more quiet or taciturn. But I think that, you know, shyness needs to be seen, you know, primarily as a temperament or a personality style. It exists along a continuum. And just we have, you know, variations, shades of, let's say, exuberance and dynamism in kids. You know, we also have shades of, you know, reserve and just shyness. And so I think it's a mistake to pathologize or read too much into it in most cases.
Okay, so if we want to be able to help in some ways with successful peer interactions, you know, and helping them learn to be around other kids without pushing them or controlling them into it, how do we teach them that sometimes friends will like you, sometimes they won't? Is this just discussion stuff, Dr. Addisman, or is it trial and error? Here you go, see what happens.
Well, you know, kids will, you know, there's always going to be variations in popularity, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time for a child to sort of, you know, connect with somebody where they sort of feel comfortable. And certainly we know as kids get older, and, you know, middle schools can be difficult, high school difficult, that, you know, kids may want to affiliate or friend, so to speak, you know, one group of friends, and they may find themselves on the outs. I think that's sort of a separate issue from, you know, the shyness piece per se, but I think that, you know, parents can, you know, reasonably, especially with younger kids, you know, make efforts to help their kids establish friendships with, you know, appropriate peers. And, you know, shy kids may feel most comfortable with other kids who might be a little bit shyer. And as long as it's not sort of impairing them, keeping them from doing certain things or causing, you know, symptoms in terms of headaches or stomach aches or other functional complaints, then likely there's less to worry about.
In other words, find others of your kind, and maybe those kind of kids would be the ones to be friends. Is this something in your experience, Dr. Addisman, that follows a child through life? Then are they a shy adult as well? Or is it something that kind of works its way out through high school into college?
I guess the answer is yes and yes. In some instances, we know that, you know, temperament or personalities are somewhat set. On the other hand, there are many, many instances where kids were shy at one stage of their life, and then they come out of their shell, whether it's through, you know, developing a comfortable social setting in terms of what they're surrounded by, whether it be a sense of proficiency or expertise and confidence that just comes with maturity. Or achievement, perhaps in with a sense of mastery. I think there are a lot of things that can help bring some kids out of their shell with time, but the reality is, both in terms of with adults and adolescents, just as with younger kids, there are always going to be some individuals who see themselves as being shy. There was actually a fascinating study done with teenagers, and they interviewed about 10,000 kids between the ages of 13 and 18, and about half of them described themselves as being shy. So, you know, when you've got half of a group describing themselves as shy, you know, obviously they're not alone, and I don't want to say it's the norm, but certainly very, very, very large numbers of kids may see themselves as shy when, again, it's not necessarily a problem. They just may not be as much out there or as comfortable or gregarious as some of their peers.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes you see those kids that are way out there and you're like, okay, glad my kid isn't that bombastic or something. In the last 30 seconds, Dr. Addisman, wrap it up for us. The best advice you have for parents of shy children and whether or not they should be concerned about the situation.
I think parents, number one, in general, should trust their instincts. Number two, I think they should, you know, reach out to their pediatrician when they do have concerns. Number three, in terms of, you know, shyness, we would worry when it seems to be a sign of greater anxiety, and you want to get a sense for the child's level of comfort or personality within his comfort zone. And number four, you know, we get nervous or concerned when we see sort of, you know, worrisome signs, as you mentioned, in terms of poor eye contact in social settings. We worry about functional complaints, or we worry about, you know, anxiety that interferes with children being able to enjoy fairly normal activities.
You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.